We're in Shmuel Aleph. We are starting Perek Vav. So the previous Perek Vav, the very beginning on page 38, Pasukav, where it says Vayhi Aharon Hashem. Okay. So Perek Hay, which was very short, discussed the tragedy that befell the Plishtim because they had taken the Aharon and they brought it from one city to the next and to the next, and kept getting worse and worse for them, and they were afflicted with a very bizarre disease, translated in English as hemorrhoids. And because of this, now we're going to see they're going to want to get the Aharon far away from them. Pasuk Aleph, Vayhi Aharon Hashem b'shtei plishtim shiva chadashim. So the Pasuk says that the Aharon Hashem was in the field of the plishtim for the period of 7 months. Now, there's a question among the Mepharshim exactly what that means. Does that mean that it was in the land of Plishtim for all that time? If we see the Mesudas Sion, that is the opinion. But Stei Plishtim means Kamo Be'eretz Plishtim, for all 7 months. There was problems all 7 months. There are those that say that, not that, but rather, that initially it was there in different places. And then once all those three cities were afflicted, then they just put it into a field for seven additional months. So it was out in the open for a significant amount of time. So the question is, why Dafka 7? What's the magic number of 7, right? It's nothing to do with the Shemini, which we discussed in symbolism of 8. What's the symbolism of 7? So it's brought down in the Bereishis Rabbah, which is not in front of us. It corresponds to the bris that Avraham made with Abimelech. Abimelech, who of course was Melech Plishtim, who was the king of the Philistines, in which it says, in the dialogue, it says that Avraham took Sonu Bokar and he gave it to Abimelech, and Abimelech said to Avraham, Mahina Shevek Vasot, what are these 7 animals that you're giving me? So on this, Hashem saw that this was a treaty that Hashem made with that Avraham made with the Plishtim, and Hashem was disappointed that Avraham had done so, and therefore He said, as a midah kenegan midah, so to speak, that ki nesinas Avraham hoysel Avimelech Melech Plishtim b'chein chaza ha'aron zayin chadashim stay Plishtim, and the punishment of the 7 animals that he made, which created a covenant, a bris, which he shouldn't have made with Abimelech, for that, there was 7 months in which the Aharon was exiled away from the Jewish people in the state Plishtim.
Look how far down the line with the connected Meda.
What?
Look how far right, down even, the line right, with
exactly.
the connected Meda.
Right, exactly. It was
You're never in the clear.
That's
you're
right.
Never in the clear.
I would be satisfied if that would be the only punishment.
Mm-hmm. And this is what's alluded to also. Right, we're going to see that is later on. In his parak, other punishments. We've seen the English on page 39. This is what he said, according to the Medrash. When Avraham took the initiative in sending a gift of 7 sheep to the Philistine king Abimelech, God reproached him and said that as a result of this attempt to curry favor, the ark would be exiled among the Philistines for 7 months. Perhaps Avraham should not have entered into the covenant with a Canaanite nation. So that's one inyan of the why it was there for such a long time. Right. That's true. Some also say that the symbolism of 7 is that we find also 7 great people died. This is how the Mepharshim bring down. The 7 people were Chofni and Pinchas, even though you would maybe not think so, Shimshon, who died in the hands of the Plishtim, Shaul, and his 3 children, which we'll see at the end of Shmuel Aleph, that they all... The 3 of Shaul's children, which is basically all of them except for 1, die. So equals 7. So we see this another connection of 7 to the Plishtim. It's also brought down in the Mepharshim that Omer Kodesh Baruch Hu, Hashem said, "The Il Tarnigolas Shel Echad Mikem Hois Barachas." If you had a little chicken that ran out of your coop of any person, Kama Mivoot Haya Machzar Achareha, how many alleyways would you have chased after it in order to get back your little bird, a worthless little tarnigol. Nonetheless, that's what you'd have done. The Aharoni b'shtei plishtim. For 7 months, my Aharon, Aharon Hashem, was in the field of the plishtim. So this is obviously something which did not Hashem did not find much favor in. So that's the first idea of this this pair.
It's interesting that, you know, another thing that happened because of Abraham's willingness to make greet them with people was not getting Yerushalayim for a long time. Right. And also, right. As almost a corollary of that, is that David HaMelech, for 7 years, he was elsewhere. He didn't get to Yerushalayim for 7 years to be the Melech.
Yeah, we're gonna see later on. Also,
the first 7 years, he was in the Chevron.
Yeah.
And we're going to see also later in Shmuel Bet that David is going to have difficulty conquering Yerushalayim because of a bris that Abraham yes. made. So because and he's going to have to somehow get around it.
The bris that he made with Ephron Achiti.
Yeah.
With Ephron Achiti, right. So and even though that bris really didn't apply anymore, it was only for the few generations, but nonetheless, they still gave the indication that it was something which applied forever. They actually made monuments and statues of the likeness of Abraham and Yitzchak in their town, as though to say, you can't touch us because of the bris that Abraham made.
Well, they had the Yivam of Pisgah for the statues that they right. put up there.
That's
the
right.
contract that they made with Abraham. They told David HaMelech, can't come in here.
Right. So what's the union of those two? Someone who was blind was Yitzchak, and the person who was lame was Yaakov. He was lamed by these Sar Shalesov. That's the symbolism of those statues.
But the way they got around it was that the bris was only good for 1,000 years.
Right, right. But the problem was the marsayim, the perception that people saw these statues, and they didn't know what you knew about the 1,000-year business or how many generations.
Well, there's innuendo there, too, because what's being said is that Avraham made a bris. They said, well, but we're B'nai Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov. They said, oh, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Ilmim, V'Pisgah. You know, it's only what Avraham said that counts. You know.
Right, right. So therefore, that made it difficult, as you said, because of an additional bris that Avraham made. Okay, let's move on to Pasuk Bet. Vayikru plishtim kohanim v'lakosmim lemor. So apparently, even though it was in the field, that's what the Pasuk says, it was a state plishtim, still problems were occurring. This terrible illness was constantly happening, and to the point, as we saw in the end of the parak, that people were dying because of this. So because of the plishtim went to the Kohanim, not the Jewish ones, the priests, Lakosmim, translated in the Mesudas Sion as those who were involved in Machshefa, in witchcraft, in black magic. Lamor manas sel arn Hashem. What are we going to do with this thing? It's just sitting there in the middle of the field causing us problems. Hodi unu b'men nishal chenu l'mkomo. Let us know with what to send it to its place. We want to know what we can possibly do to get rid of this. How do we get rid of it? What exactly are we supposed to do? So we look in Rashi. Rashi says on the words b'men nishal chenu. Says Rashi ve'ez inyan nishalchenu shlo yechra apo v'yoshem charonu mimenu. They didn't care about the honor of the Aron. They cared about the pain that they're going through. This. So therefore, Rashi says, what can we do to make sure that it's done properly, not just thrown back to the Jewish people, but done in some maybe a respectful way? Maybe we have to give gifts or something, so that Hashem's wrath will no longer be upon us. So what was the advice that was given? So let's see Pasuk Gimel and Dalet. V'yomru, and they said, if you send it, which of course is bizarre, of course they want to, however he said, if you're going to do it, you have to do it right. Al tishalchu also rekam. Do not send it empty, just it, with nothing else. Rather, ki hashiv tishivu l'asham. Rather, you must also give with it an asham, a guilt offering, as though to acknowledge that you made a mistake. Oz then tirafu, you'll be healed. The nodalachem lama lo sosir yadu mikem. Then you'll realize how at that point before that Hashem did not put His hand away, He turned His hand away from against you. You'll know then, which is an unbelievable thing that the Mefarshim pick up on. It says you're already been ill. Every city that the Aron goes to, people get sick. Possibly people die. Nonetheless, they still don't believe. They don't have the emunah. They don't have the bitachon. When are they going to have the bitachon? Once it's gone, and if the illness goes away. Then it says, "Oz teirafu." Then when you're healed, v'nod lachem. That's when you'll know. What do you mean they don't know until now? Obviously shows their minimal level of bitachon and emuna. So this was what was advised. Pasuk dalad v'yomru, and they said, "Ma ha'ashem asher nashavlo." What exactly is this guilt offering that we should give? What should we give? Animals? Like, what are you supposed to do? What exactly does that entail? V'yomru, and they said, Mismar Sarni Plishtim, those numbers of the governors, the officers of the Plishtim, Chamisha, they should have five Techori Zahav. Five Techori Zahav are five golden hemorrhoids, right? You have to give God five golden hemorrhoids. The Chamisha, Akbare Zahav, and five mice, which are made out of gold, which, as we said, whenever a person wished to relieve themselves, the mice were found and they entered into the body. And you should do this because this is all considered one large plague, one large punishment, which was upon you as well as your governors. So the question is, how do you make a hemorrhoid? It's a very good question. Well, the English actually helps us out on the bottom right, page 39. And I have to underline this because otherwise I would not know the answer. I hope you all ate your dinner a long time ago. They were to make golden representations of inflamed flesh and bulging veins. So they would make five of these types of hemorrhoids out of gold, and that would be the asham. That would be the wonderful guilt offering that's given to Hashem. So obviously the question is, what's the significance of this? Why on earth would they do this? So let's start off with Rashi. Rashi says in Pasuk Gimel, Asham, what's the significance of a guilt offering? Heker davar she'atem modim she'altem bo. So by giving this, you're acknowledging that you did something wrong, that you made a mistake. And the Radak continues, and it says, that which is underlined right before Pasuk Dalad, Asham kapara al asher asisa. There'll be an atonement, it's a kapara for what you did. And therefore, so why dafka do you bring these things? It's to acknowledge that those plagues that came about you were not by chance, but they came because HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hand was involved, and Hashem punished me because I made a mistake, and I didn't show the proper respect. I shouldn't have taken the Aram. And therefore, the plishtim, by giving it back to Hashem in with these golden items, shows their hakar, their recognition that in fact Hashem is the one whose hand is continuously in the world. Furthermore, it's not enough just to give it back. Pasuk says when it comes to gazela, the heshem gazela asher gazel, you have to return that which is stolen. But you still hurt me. It's not enough for you just, you steal something because you want to use it and you enjoy it, and then you give it back to me. Oh, so your yoitza, I fulfilled my mitzvah, heshem gazela. You also have to ask b'chilo, because you harmed me. You have to acknowledge that you made a mistake. Otherwise, why should I have to go to rent a car? I'll just steal your car, and I'll return it a week later, and that's it, finished. But that's not enough to return it. You have to acknowledge that there's an asham, that there was a mistake involved. And that's what the plishtim did by providing this asham to the B'nai Israel. Okay, so furthermore, one can ask, okay, what's the symbolism, what's the significance of five? So why five? So we said it corresponds to the people, and Rashi is more specific. Sarni plishtim chamisha heim, right? Kamashin emar, as it says, ha-zosi, ha-shdodi, ha-shkiloni, ha-giti, bo-ekroni. But it's going to say that even more clearly in the psukim, that it corresponds to the cities in which we're afflicted with this punishment, with this disease.
All the five. There were five plishtim cities.
Right.
All of them covered.
Right. Even though the psukim that we saw in the previous parak really only emphasized the punishment of three, right? But nonetheless, apparently over here, we're going to see that it was more than just those cities, because all the plishtim were responsible. Even those that weren't actually in the city may not have been afflicted on the same level, but nonetheless, they were all afflicted. We also learn out from here the inyan, as it's brought down in the Rabbeinu Yonah, that what was the mistake that, if you want to pinpoint in a couple of words, what was the avera of the plishtim, and that is a chil Hashem. They created a chil Hashem by taking the Aram. That's how the Rabbeinu Yonah defines what the plishtim did. And the only way that a person can Mimachaper on the Avera of Chil Hashem is by Kiddush Hashem, right? So therefore, what they had to do was to elevate the Aron by diminishing it, which is a Chil Hashem, showing the lack of godliness in this world, which the Plishtim did. So therefore, they in turn had to counter that, so they'll have a proper kapara with a Kiddush Hashem. Okay. Let's move on to the next Pasuk. Pasuk Hey.
And they were going to return this way back to Shiloh.
Somewhere back to the Jewish people. The question is, how? How are they going to do it? And that's what we're going to see. Exactly. Maybe it's just a bunch of people will just travel there, or maybe they'll call the Jewish people to come and pick it up. But that's not what happens, as we'll see. Pasuk Hey. V'asisem tzalmei t'choreichem v'tzalmei ak bereichem Hamashchisim es aretz. So they were to make these images of hemorrhoids, as well as images of the mice, which were mashchisim es aretz, which destroyed the world, the earth, the ground. Translated here, demolishes the country. The question is, we don't find that they really did anything except to harm the people. But the pasuk says hamashchisim es aretz. So that's why the Mitzvah Sion says, when it says Esa'aretz, it means it's Anshe Ha'aretz. It doesn't mean it harmed the land, it harmed the people on the land. So that's how the Mitzvah Sion translates it. Unasatem l'elokei Yisrael kavod. And they will then, by giving these things, will give kavod, honor, to Hashem by these gifts. Ulai, perhaps, yokel es yodo mi'aleichem. God's strong hand will not be as powerful upon us, harming us. Mial Eloheichem, lowercase g, and maybe he will not harm our gods. Mial Arzachem, and maybe he will not harm our land, which can also mean the people of our land. But it's fascinating that still, even though they now acknowledge that there is a God that did this, nonetheless they said, you know, maybe God will not harm whom? Mial Eloheichem. They still believed in many gods. This didn't cause them to be monotheistic, to believe only in Hashem. But nonetheless, they at least acknowledge that the God of the Hebrews is very powerful.
Well, you could say something else there, though, because the word generically, Elohim, also means judges, so it could mean your governments and your governing powers, too.
True, could be. It's not translated here anywhere, but Pashupshad is our gods. But maybe. Okay, Pasuk Vav. V'lomo tichavdu es levavchem kasher kivdu mitzrayim ufares libim. Coming up to Pesach, so here we go. They say, why would you still tichavdu, here it's translated as harden your hearts, kasher kivdu mitzrayim ufares, as it was done by the Mitzrayim and Paro, that they hardened as libam their hearts as well. Halukasher his alel bohem, just as his alel, the Sudan translation spoke, they belittled and they were humiliated by the Jewish people. Yishalchum, and they were sent out ve'alecho, and they went out. So there's no point in waiting until we're just completely destroyed like the Mitzrayim. Let us just get rid of this aron and cut our losses. And talking about how remembering the distance of time, it's interesting, it brings down page 41 in the English on the left side. It is noteworthy that even 400 years, 400 years after the Exodus, nations were still intimidated by what God had done in Egypt. So therefore, they were still remembering 400 years back. 400 years back, what did Hashem do?
But not enough to stop them from invading Israel.
Not enough for the Plishtim?
Yeah.
Correct. Because initially, as we said before, we saw that they thought that God was all washed up. That God is not going to has nothing left in his tank. He's not going to punish us. Because he gave every single punishment to the Mitzrayim. So what is left? Which, of course, is very difficult. Why he can't do the same punishment to us. But nonetheless, Hashem felt compelled to give them a different punishment, which, as we saw, is extremely unique.
It's interesting to note that here, even 400 years or even whenever afterwards, it's not just that they know the historical events, if you see it in Mitzrayim, But they also know that there was specifically a hardening of the hearts of Pharaoh and the Egyptians.
Right.
And that's something that may have not, you wouldn't expect that to be obvious to the observer.
That's true. Apparently, the people knew that Paro had numerous opportunities to free the Bnei Israel, and he didn't. And as every time more and more tragedies occurred and more devastation in his land, he continued to require the Bnei Israel to stay. And that just destroyed his country. So don't allow this to happen. We shouldn't allow history to repeat itself. Pasuk Zayin. V'atah, and now, kahu, this is what we're going to do. Kahu, v'asu agol chadash. I want you to make one new wagon. I want you to get one new wagon. It really, the answer is not that I want you to get, it's rather I want you to make. If you see the Mesudas David over here, v'atah kahu, ratzalom or kahu, Eitzim, the asu agol chadash al kavod arum. It's not enough to go to Home Depot and buy a brand new wagon. It has to be made l'shem mitzvah of carrying the arum. It's insufficient. And therefore, that's the first thing that they said. Go out and actually make a new wagon. Ushtei paros alos, as well as two cows, which are alos. Mesudas Sion says manikos, that they're nursing. So nursing, they just gave birth to calves. Ashul ola aleihem ol, in which a yoke has never gone upon these animals, which is kind of strange. Why would you want those animals, such inexperienced animals, to pull this wagon? You'd want the best to make sure it gets out of your community. Va'asartem es aparos ba'agol, va'asartem es sudasion, translates as inikshira, tie them up, these animals, upon the wagon. Va'hashivosem b'nehem, and you should cause that their young ones, their calves, should turn and go back to their homes. That these nursing cows should see their young and see that they're separating from their young. Their young who would enjoy some milk. So we look in Rashi, what on earth are they doing this for? It doesn't make any sense. Okay, the new wagon thing makes sense. But why would you get such inexperienced cows? And why would you want them to be nursing cows, as Rashi says, Menikos, same thing. And why is it necessary to put them in front of their calves so that they're maybe not going to want to do their mission?
It's
they
an
may
act of cruelty, too.
Seems like an act of cruelty, yes. But Rashi says it's an act of a nisayon. Rashi says, Kol zeh l'nisayon. What's the nisayon? What's the test that the plishtim wanted to see? She'ein oelu ro'oyos limshech. Because these animals are not fit, and they're not knowledgeable to pull such weight. Because, after all, it said that they've never had a yoke upon them before. So, this is a test. V'od shiga'ot achar b'nehem. They will constantly be yearning after their young. V'im yeheh koyach v'aharon shi'alichu oso me'aleihem neida shehu asalan. That if it's so that the Aaron truly has some type of powers, some spiritual powers within it, then it will be able to go on its own. So therefore, they bedafka took an animal in which would not want to go on this mission. Dafka an animal that has just, it was in the process of nursing. Dafka an animal that has never done this work before, to see if there's some way that God is able to guide these animals back to the Jewish people, this Aaron back to the Jewish people. And the question is, why would they do this nisayon? So you can maybe say that it's possible that, you know, if they have trained animals, so maybe Hashem doesn't want the Aaron in the Jewish people's possession. Because after all, we have it now. It must be Hashem doesn't want it. Hashem clearly doesn't want us to have it. But if we get the most trained, experienced animals to go straight back to the Jewish people, we still may have these problems. Because maybe Hashem doesn't want it there either. So therefore, we're going to put it in the hands of an animal that just doesn't know what it's doing. And the only way it's going to get to where it's got to go is through an act of God, through Hashem. That's possibly looking, being done with kafsus for the plishtim for once, and that's about it. If we look at the Radak gives us a different explanation as to why everything is new. Well, one of them is the same. It says the Radak, Chadosh Yishlona Asaba Malacha, Bavar Kedush Asa Aaron. They want to show the proper respect to the Aaron. The Radak, jumping down a little bit, Asher Lo Ol Aleihem Ol, there was never a yoke upon it. Ze Amr Bavar Kedush Asa Aaron, Shlona Asaba Hem Malacha Acheres. So unlike the Pshat and Rashi that they did it as a test, they did it to show the Kedusha of the Aron. It would not be befitting for the Kedusha of the Aron to be pulled by animals that the day before were working in a field, in a dirty field. So therefore they wanted Dafka to have animals that never did anything which was beneath the honor due to the Aron. And therefore that's why how the Radak, the spin on the Radak of why Dafka animals that did not do work. Okay. Let's move on. Next pasuk, Pasuk Ches tells us, Lokachtem es Aron Hashem, so they took the Aron. Nasatem oso el ha'agol, they put into the wagon. Ve'es klei ha'zahav asher hashevosem lo asham, they also took all the gold which they made as guilt offerings. Tosimu ba'ar gaz mitzido, they put it in an argaz, in a chest on the side of it. Vishi lachtem oso v'holoch, they sent it off and it went on its merry old way. Now, it's interesting, we find that the question is that it says it was placed on the side of the Aron. So what happened afterwards when the Bnei Israel actually got it and the Beis HaMikdash was constructed? What did they do with this chest filled with hemorrhoids? So we think, well, they probably got rid of it. It's like, what other, you know, would you want such a thing? So it's interesting, it's very worthwhile noting that it's brought down in the Gemara in Yoma as follows, as well as the Gemara in Horios. Tanya, there's only a couple of lines, but it's not in front of you. It says, at the time, Mishin Nignas Aron, Nignas Imo, Sansenas Haman, Vesochias Shemen Hamishchad, together with the Aron were the following items. It was the flask of with man in it, as well as Shemen Hamishcha, the oil for anointing. Kol shel Aron v'shikideha perecheha, the staff of Aron which spread it forth almonds, and the arga sheshalchu plishtim daron lel king Yisrael. Together with all of these things was this chest along the side of the Aron, which means that, you know, it was worthy to be placed in the Kodesh HaKadosh. Now, not everyone agrees to this. It's brought down the Sefer Ben Yoyada, the Dafka Argaz Hayatamin Munach Liad Ha'aron. This chest was next to it. However, the Apule Zahav Yachbur HaZahav Lo Haviu Osam LeKadosh HaKadosh HaKadosh LeYos Liad Ha'aron. That the hemorrhoids were not put in the Kadosh HaKadosh. But it's an unbelievable vort. But that's what some Pshatim say, that this thing was actually in the Kadosh HaKadosh. This was in the Kadosh HaKadosh. And on this, Shimon Schwab explains that the idea is that why do we want to focus on hemorrhoids when you think about the Kodesh Kodesh, we don't think about that, is because we have to realize that Hashem is not only concerned about our spiritual welfare, which of course He cares about very much, and we have to care about as well, but also Hashem also worries about, is concerned about the physical and the mundane, the gashmios, the material and physical of ourselves. And therefore, to acknowledge this inyan, that Hashem was able to cure these plishtim of this illness, it's placed even in the Kodesh HaKadoshim to symbolize that Hashem cares not only about us spiritually, but about us physically just as well. So says Rav Schwab. Pasuk Taz. Re'i said, Im derech gevulo ya'aleh. So we're going to see what's going to happen over here. Is this animal, are they going to go in the proper way to Beis Shemesh, which is on our map, Beis Shemesh, who also lanu esara gdol hazos. So if it goes to Beis Shemesh, then we're going to know how this ra gdol, this terrible thing happened. God must have done it. But then, unbelievably, the rest is pasuk. Pasuk test continues. The im lo, if the animals veer off, because that's what it really should do, naturally these animals should not get there on their own. The odanu, we will know, says the pasuk, ki lo yadu nagubanu, that it was not Hashem's hand that afflicted us, rather, mikra hu hayalanu. It was by, it was chance. It happened to be, yeah, the Aron happened to be in the city. At the same time where a terrible plague broke forward throughout the entire community. And then it was brought to another city that was fine, and all of a sudden that happened. Then all of a sudden another time. But if the wagon goes in the opposite direction, it's just a chance. It's unfortunate, as we often find, that a person will deviate from the MS because we some people who do not want the truth, they don't want to believe in spirituality and godliness and that God's in charge and control of the world. Because the second that you know that God's in control and charge of the world, then I have to be a different person. I have to adhere to my master's will. And therefore, if the slightest thing doesn't go right, it must be by chance. And this is the same vort that, which we're going to talk about on Shabbos HaGadol, is that this is the same inyan that the astrologer said when Moshe Rabbeinu said, Kechatzot, right? Approximately. Moshe didn't know the precise time of midnight. He did know, according to the second explanation of the Gemara. So why didn't he do it? So Rashi brings down the Gemara in Brachos, so that the astrologers shouldn't think that Moshe's a liar, which is preposterous. Moshe Rabbeinu, what? Just was part of this whole process of 9 plagues. Every single thing happens. And the 10th plague happens, but it just wasn't exactly at 12 o'clock. It was at 12:03. Moshe's a liar. Moshe's wrong. But that's the mentality of a person who does not want to believe. They'll look for any excuse to not want to believe. They can... most irrational explanations. But that's the same thing over here. Mikra hu hayalanu. Everything's just by chance. Right? Just like Amalek, we spoke about a month or so. Asher karcha baderech. Amalek just wants us to believe that everything's... we just happened to chance upon you. We didn't really intend to attack you. We just happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. Mikra hu hayalanu.
In other words, the derech to Shiloh is through Beit Shemesh. That's
what they expected. Well, Shiloh is... in utter ruins at this point, unfortunately. Shiloh's Kohen Gadol died, his children died.
Shemesh, why does the Aaron have to go to Beit Shemesh?
I'm guessing it's probably the closest city to the where the Plishtim lived. And is that what it looks like on the map a little bit, right?
And that's where it's supposed to end?
It's in enemy territory, so now I can care less what happens to it. Now the Jewish people can do with it as they see fit. But at this point, we don't want it in our Rishus. So maybe once it's in Beit Shemesh, maybe it'll stay there. Maybe it'll be brought to Shiloh. Maybe it'll be brought to another place called Nov, which is where it's going to end up going. But the truth is, we don't care. We just want it out of here. Pasuk Yud. V'yasu anoshim kein. So you can imagine, this is what they were advised. This is precisely what they do. V'yasu anoshim kein, this is what they do. V'yichu shtei paros olos, they take these two cows, which were, as we said, nursing. V'yasrum ba'agola, and they put and tied them up to this wagon. V'esbenei hem kolu b'boyes, and they sent their little animals to the house. What happened? V'yasimu es aron Hashem el ha'gol, they placed the aron on this wagon. V'yas argaz in the chest. V'yas akavia zahav, these golden mice, yes, Salme Techorehem, as well as these images of hemorrhoids. Okay. V'yisharna haparos baderech. So what ended up happening? Did they end up veering off the road? No, they went on the road, the right path, al derech Beis Shemesh. Obviously, these animals have never been there before. They never traveled much. They never pulled anything before. They made it to Beit Shemesh. B'msila achat. In one straight path, one road. Hohu halu v'gol, they went exactly the way. V'lo sori yaminu smol, they did not deviate from the road right or to the left. V'sarni plishtim hocham achreihem, and these plishtim followed behind them. Advul v'shomesh, until the border. Which almost again sounds like they wanted to get into enemy territory. Once the Jewish people had it, kol kavod, they can do whatever they want with it. Now, before we see Rashi, she's reminded that this incident we're going to see again in Shmuel Bet. Shmuel Bet, when David becomes the Melech, the sole Melech over all of Klal Yisrael, we're going to find, actually also brought down in the Haftarah and Parsha Shmini, which we didn't read because it's par this year, that they transported the Aron to Yerushalayim. And there, they put it on wagons. They put it on wagons because David looked at this story and said, if a tremendous nace happened, that a wagon was able to transport the Aron back to this city, to Beit Shemesh, it must be that's what I'm supposed to do. And unfortunately, because of that, similar to the punishment of Nadab and Avihu, that's why it's also brought down Bedakub, there was the punishment of Uzzah, who was one of the people that was next to the Aron, who as the Aron was slipping, he tried to catch it. And he died because he showed Kalos Rosh, lightheadedness toward the in lack of respect to the Aron, he died. So, but nonetheless, we find this, again, this similarity, this is a connection. Just want to draw that connection. That, of course, technically, the Aron is supposed to be carried by the Levium. The Levium are the ones who are supposed to carry and transport the Aron from place to place. But David learned from this story, for some reason, that it would be okay to put it on the wagon. Obviously, there's a huge difference between this story and that story. The difference is the Plishtim don't have a Levium. The Plishtim didn't have any Levium, not Jews.
They had Kohanim.
They had Kohanim, right, the Pasuk said. So they didn't have any Levium. So therefore, David made the mistake of doing this, and unfortunately it led to his downfall. But similarly, we're going to still see another tragedy which will happen to the Bnei Yisrael. But before we do that, let's look into Rashi. We're only going to be able to see one more Pasuk after Pasuk Yud Bet. We'll see Pasuk Yud Bet, maybe one you'd get more. Pasuk Yud Bet. So, Pasuk Yud Bet focuses on the first word of Vayisharna haparos. Vayisharna means that, translated as, that the cows set out to go on the road. But however, for those that have melodious tones here, would like this shot, Vayisharna says, Rashi is melamed she'af havlodos hayomrim shira, that even the young ones sang shira, which means what sang, who sang shira? The cows. The animals actually were singing. The cows that were bringing the wagon were singing shira. That's what Rashi says. You know, it's unbelievable, but that's what Rashi says. So unbelievable that the Mefarshim asked the Kasha. The Mefarshim asked the Kasha that we know it says in Perkei Avos. This is actually a Kasha the Ritva brings down. The Ritva asks that we know that there are 10 things that Hashem created on Erev Shavuos being Hashmashos. One of them was Pi Ha'ason, the mouth of the donkey of Bilam, right? So, and the symbolism, by the way, as my Rosh Hashiva Rabbi Zwang explains, is Ben Hashmashos is Suffik Yom Suffik Laila. It's has attributes of day and attributes of night. If you study that Mishnah, all of those things have in it more than its own creation. In other words, there's four different, there's people, there's animals, there's plants, and then there's like rocks. So every one of them have two attributes. The most famous one is Pia Asan. It's a behema, but it has Koach Adibor, like a human being. So therefore, the Ritva asks the question, why weren't these cows among the list of the Mishnah that says that they should be included in this case of those animals that were created Ben Hashmashos? Because Hashem, interestingly enough, even though he obviously can create Nisim, but he does programs everything into Teva. So the only way that this could have been created had to have been Ben Hashmashos at a time in which there's this element of two in one, the Suffik Yom Suffik Laila attribute. That's when Hashem created it, which is interesting. We don't do malacha on Ben Hashmashos, but God did, as the Mishnah says. So the Ben Yoyada answers a few answers. So the Ben Yoyada says, so first of all, the Ritva answers that in the word in Pi Ha'ason, it doesn't only mean the mouth of the donkey; it means any other animal which takes upon it thereafter the Koach HaDibur. So therefore, this is included in the category of Pi Ha'ason. So says the Ritva. The Ben Yoyada gives two other explanations. The Ben Yoyada gives one answer, which is we're not going to really see until later on, but none of us will say it. That because this whole episode, even though it was a nace, but from it came a tragedy, as we're going to see, many of the Bnei Yisrael are going to die because when it's brought to Beit Shemesh, we're going to see this in Pasuk Yud Gimel, we'll probably see that next week, that they looked at the Aron, they gazed upon it, they looked inside it according to some of Farshim, that's why it says Ba'aron, but nonetheless they treated it disrespectfully and they were punished. So according to the Ben Yoyada, we'd want to mention this as one of the things that were created because it has a negative slant of Jews dying. Furthermore, the Ben Yoyada says, very interesting, you may have seen floating around. It's not so popular anymore. Last year I saw it all the time. I used to get mailings of a book called, what's it called? Perek Shira. Remember Perek Shira? Perek Shira is this colorful book with all the pictures of animals, and next there was a possum. So what's Pshat in Perek Shira? You ever seen that? Say for Perek Shira? You seen it? Perek Shira means that every single animal sings Shira. Now, does it mean that they actually say that pasuk? Which is interesting, if you really want to study Perek Shira properly, you study the attribute of the animal, you study the pasuk. It doesn't mean that they actually sing that pasuk, but the animal represents that pasuk. And therefore, its living is the way that embodies this pasuk. And therefore, this is how some explain. It doesn't mean, first of all, it's not a chiddush that these animals sang, because all animals sing, right? But it doesn't mean necessarily that they're singing so that they can be, on American Idol, the next rock star. The Shira means, the essence of song, as it's explained, is that, like we hear someone who sings your praises, is that the animals were able to reach their potential. That's what they were able to accomplish. Oh, bar mitzvah boy. They were able to reach their potential. And therefore, because of this, that's what it means that they sang. Okay. Two more minutes. Okay. So that's what these animals did. Let's just at least glance at Pasuk Gimel because it wraps it up, but we'll just read it and then we'll go into it more in 2 weeks from now. Ubeis Shemesh Kaitzrim Chitin. Katsir Chitin. So in Beis Shemesh, what was going on? There are people that were cutting their wheat. They were busy farming. Here they were. I mean, it was tragic the Aaron was taken, but life goes on. It's been 7 months, a year later, so they're working in the fields. And can you imagine? You're working your fields, not expecting animals. V'yisues einayhem, and you raise your eyes. V'yiros Aaron, and you see the Aaron. V'yismechu liros, and they were so happy to see it. But we're going to end up seeing next week. We'll see this pasuk next week because it really connects to everything thereafter. V'yismechu liros was a mistake. Because they showed kalas rosh, they didn't show the proper respect that's due to it. We're also going to discuss the other inyan, is that we'll get more, we'll chazer this inyan, is that they didn't stop from doing their malacha. That's what Radak is going to say. Very interesting shot. So it's not that they didn't show respect to the Aaron, but by they kept shoveling, they kept doing their work while they saw the Aaron. And it's completely disrespectful. And if it can be can compare bismanenu, it would be bismanenu, a person's benching. So what do you do during benching? So you clean, you put this, and you start sweeping this, and you're benching this. That's equivalent to what they were doing. And therefore, by showing a lack of respect, unfortunately, they were punished, which we'll see in 2 weeks. We'll stop.